LushaCast. Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
It's my job this time.
I'm not used to doing that.
I don't get to do that very often. Welcome back to another episode. Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard, and we got Dan Davies back
in the house. Deuce,
becoming one of the two time
clubbers. Yeah, but
what we get
two timer.
But for exciting reasons, Dan was gracious enough to invite us to be part of setting up at Lawrence University to interview actors and directors for his upcoming award show, which we'll let him discuss because we're excited to hear about it. But we thank you and appreciate. Giving us the opportunity to do that, and we're looking forward to it. Yeah. We're going on the road, so we're going to be there live. We're not presenting live, but we're going to be there live, and it's a new experience for us to be broadcasting at Lawrence, which is cool. But tell us what to expect when we're there.
Yeah, so again, thank you guys for this coming weekend. It's the National Independent Film Association. It's the fifth annual NIFA Awards. And I started it originally 2018, but the first year was 2019. And I reached out to some of my celebrity friends who knew a lot bigger celebrity friends. And through them, I was able to get my first year of the country star, Neil McCoy, as the NIFA Music Legend Award. And then we had a connection to Sean Connery through his manager in London, and agent manager in London, and a friend of his wife, Micheline. Mm-hmm. And it was about, we got in touch with him, and then Micheline spoke on his behalf and said he'd be honored to get the award. Nice. And he was living in the Bahamas at the time, in the Caribbean at the time. So what I did was I made two trophies, sent him one, and I kept one myself.
Okay.
But he was gracious enough to accept it. And he was our first NIFA movie Lifetime Achievement Award winner. It's called The Connery from here on in. And but sadly, about 6 months after he received the award, he died. But it was neat, though, that he accepted
and
graciously accepted it, which just blew me away.
And you started off high, going right to James Bond himself.
Yeah,
Sir Sean Connery.
Boy, and then we had posthumously to Michael Blake, who wrote Dances with Wolves. He was a friend of mine, was our creative consultant on West of Thunder, and Academy Award Golden Globe winner. And I wanted to honor his legacy and his memory. And then we had Jeff Ulm, who's an Academy Award winner. He's worked post-production, color correction, and editing from Titanic to Guardians of the Galaxy to Spider-Man to Kung Fu Panda. So we had like a superstar lineup of Lifetime Achievement Award winners. And each one of them, there's the Blake Award, the Ulm Award, the Connery Award, and the Real McCoy, the McCoy Award, which Randy Travis won the year after.
Oh, wow.
So it's been kind of cool, you know, with it. And it's a film festival, but it's also a film awards. Mm-hmm. And I've hosted it at Lawrence University and University of Wisconsin, Fox Cities as well. But Lawrence has been a great host for us, and we have five or six different categories, from films, short films, documentaries, to feature-length films, scripts, to music videos. And our judging staff is a inimitable 13 people that I pay in pizza and beer.
I'm suing for that.
and
do you judge as well?
I can't.
Okay.
Since I'm the founder of NIFA Awards, I'm not able to. I don't even watch the programming. I don't want to be affected by any of it.
Fair enough.
But it's exciting. But next year, if you guys would like to be judges, we always could.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It's just very fun.
Very up for it, yeah.
You go through Film Freeway, through National Independent Film Association or NIFA Awards, and you'd be able to judge them at your leisure. Mm-hmm. Next year's 2024. I've already booked it for October 5. But this year I'm very, very excited. We've got some really cool films, and And some premieres as well. And
I'm excited for the premiere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I mean, we've got this really cool film, Happy Birthday. Mm-hmm. The filmmakers are from the greater Milwaukee area. And then we have a sneak preview of a film from two Los Angeles filmmakers and a Milwaukee filmmaker called Without a Name. It's kind of a thriller horror film. And then we have a couple of other surprises, and I'm just so excited.
I mean, I saw the lineup, you know, appreciate you showing me that and doing, it's been fun just doing the research on all the people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and going back to, you know, their names are out there and the things they worked on are just it's so crazy. Neat.
Yeah. So one of the filmmakers is from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
From Tokyo, Kevin Hayato Mitsuishi, he's going to be there. And then Emmett Loverday is from Los Angeles, and Eric Lukert is from the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
And that's, he was the one to bring the film to Wisconsin to film it. And I play a deranged preacher in that typecasting.
I don't know how that worked out.
And then in Happy Birthday, I play a deranged president of
the United States. Theme going on here.
There's a theme. There's a theme. Yeah.
Theme going on. Yeah. But and then we're gonna have a world premiere of a short film about my grandfather, and it was directed by Len Ebb. And Len is originally from New York, lived in Hollywood for about 25 years, moved to the area. He married a gal from the Fox Cities in Wisconsin. Okay. And
this is exciting. This part I'm really looking forward to.
So Len I've known for 4 or 5 years, and he's done a few movies, little short films about me, my films in Africa and Europe and whatever, and just drunken shenanigans and shit like that. And I told him a story about my grandfather, who was half Seneca Indian, Seneca of the Iroquois, and Scots-Irish. Mm-hmm. And I told him the story about what my grandfather did in World War II. He was stateside. And the movie is literally about his contribution to the U.S. And they were looking for people, specifically they were looking for people that were American Indian, mm-hmm. although not all of the drivers were American Indian. But the reason being that they thought American Indian people had better sense of direction. So my grandfather asked him, like, you know, what the hell does that mean? You know, like, we have compasses and maps. He says, well, here's the problem.
Okay.
You're going to be taking armaments north of Detroit. He was living in Detroit at the time. And the stuff that you're carrying in the back of your truck is going to mess up your compass. And you're going to have to take a different route every single time from Detroit to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And sometimes from Oak Ridge, Tennessee to Los Alamos, New Mexico. It's a different route every single time.
Wow.
And he's like, oh. And now he knew, and he didn't know that he was part of the Manhattan Project, but he knew there was secrecy behind it. He just didn't know exactly what it was. They kept all that under wraps.
Okay.
And what they were afraid of, the reason why they'd go different routes is because of saboteurs and people that
sure.
want to know, you know, whatever it's uranium or what armaments or whatever triggers or whatever. And he was hauling a lot of the armaments that were the two bombs that were on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Wow.
And this, my grandfather told my dad this story, and they must've had a few beers because my grandfather didn't really talk about himself that often. And he said he was driving down and he must've been about 30, 40 miles away from Oak Ridge, but he was lost. Middle of nowhere, and he must have been trying to look at his map, and
okay.
his compass is all screwy looey, and an MP pulls him over and has him roll down the window, and he sees this, you know, Indian guy, dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin, and he said, you know, what reservation are you coming off of? And he said, Detroit. And he said, okay, they're smart ass, give me your ID and all your paperwork. So my grandfather, his paperwork was actually in a sealed envelope.
Okay.
And he just handed it over to the MP, and the MP opened it and looked at it and went back to his car and called it in. And he came back up to the side, the driver's side, and he saluted my grandfather. My grandfather was a non-commissioned officer. He goes, you don't have to salute me. He's like, yeah.
Wow.
He said, your security clearance is second only to the President of the United States of America. And the guy was so nervous, he thought he was going to get thrown in the brig, you know, or demoted or something. And my grandfather was like, fuck no, I don't care.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's when he found out his own. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my God. But yeah, he was part of the team of drivers that were, and a good portion were of American Indian extract. Not all of them were, but some of them were. And you know, he literally helped end World War II.
Wow.
with what they were doing. So it was pretty cool.
It's very cool. And it's even cooler that they made a movie about it.
We got this actor from Milwaukee who's actually an Air Force veteran and actually was an MP in the Air Force. And he was in for like 8 or 10 years. And his name is Luis Castillo.
Okay.
And he's Comanche Indian and European. So Spanish European. And so he looks a lot like my grandfather, except my grandfather was 5'9" and Luis is 6'4". But you're not going to know because they're seated in the truck.
Grandmother's like, I'm okay, you know, portray me like, you know. But
they look a lot alike. And that was pretty wonderful to, you know, to get an actor. And he did just such a fine job.
Okay. And you're in it.
Yeah.
And what are you playing there?
I play the MP actually. And I didn't want to. And Len goes, oh, Dan, you'll be perfect. And I said, well, during World War II, the guys that were fighting were younger. So a lot of the older guys were MPs and police officers. And because they were too old to go to Europe, Japan.
Sure.
So I thought, well, shit, he could be in his 50s. And so I took my toupee off. So I'm completely bald in it. Coincidentally, my grandfather ended up being bald later on in life. But so I said, well, if you really want me to, I will.
Yeah.
We had this other actor in mind and I was like, shit. And it was fun. It was really a good time.
Yeah. It seemed like an honor to actually to be able to be.
Yeah. To be
in that. I think if you weren't, you might've been a little disappointed that I wasn't in with, you know, this is an honor to your grandpa. So that's
awesome. It really was. My grandfather was such a humble, quiet, self-effacing person. When he died, his obituary didn't even have a third of what he had done.
Just couldn't.
He's the only things that were really important to him, that he was a good husband and a good father.
That's enough. That's kind of the most important part, aren't they?
Those are the most. So the rest of it was just, you know, window dressing. So he didn't, you know, and I was disappointed because I was like really proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what about him being a city councilman and being one of the first American Indians to go to school at University of Wisconsin-Madison? And he had a singing career and just all these things. Younger, they were four brothers and they sang like Ink Spots and what was the other group? Mills Brothers. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. And so he was really a talented guy and he was, you know, state champion, like tennis player and scratch golfer, and he didn't care, you know, so, but that's a whole different generation.
It is. You know? Yeah. And it probably means more to you and his children.
Yeah.
And
but not to him.
To him. What?
You know,
that shows even character right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He was, I miss him all the time. He was one of my heroes, just an amazing guy.
Well, again, I'll say it again. I'm excited to watch the movie.
And
it's an honor for you to be in it and for us to be just there to watch it.
It's an honor for us to be invited to do this. So,
yeah. I mean, that's it. We were, you know, I kept thinking it'd be really nice to, because essentially I founded the NYFA and I do have a board of directors but it's still, you know, the heavy lifting is incumbent upon me.
Sure.
So
but putting this together now, did you have one last year or was that, there was a gap with COVID, right?
You know, we did two of them. We canceled one for COVID, but then we did one in, without an audience one year.
Oh, okay. So kept it going.
Yeah. Just to keep it. So it's the fifth annual.
Now, I guess where I'm going with it is it's coming up. It's a great honor. Got to be a lot of work. Do you look forward to it? Are you relieved when it's over? Are you nervous right now? Or not nervous, but just like, I just wanted to be done.
You know, I really just wanted to kind of, you know, I love film and I love presenting. And, you know, for me, I always thought years ago before my films got onto Netflix or Hulu, people would always come up to me. They'd be like, "Man, Mr. Hollywood, where can we see these little flippity floppity movies you do? You're starring in what, gay midget porn?" No, I'm 6'1" and I like women. Well, that's where the acting comes in, young man.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so it's like I kept before those, I was like, well, shit, maybe if I have my own festival, then I'd give people an opportunity to see some of the films that I've done.
Okay.
You know, and that was originally thought of that 2016-17. I originally was gonna do a mile of movies.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I thought it would be a cool idea, and
nice
then
tie-in. Yeah,
there's a gentleman whose name will not be said out loud. Didn't think it was a good idea.
Okay.
So I just kind of did the National Independent Film Association, but I really wanted it to be a destination. So each bar would have, you know, set up with headphones, so noise canceling, so they could actually watch a film and eat and enjoy themselves and have people there introduce their film. This is my film and blah, 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 and do a Q&A. So almost the same concept of mile of music, but a little different.
We
might do that in Oshkosh actually next year with 5 or 6 different locations. So like a walking tour.
That'd be awesome.
The whole day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, early October, it's not going to be halfway decent.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the greatest things for me and being part of it is because of how much you do the filming in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you incorporate people in the area, you know, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And that's just neat.
I try to do that. When we lost our film tax rebate in 2010 or 11 or whatever, it really put a kibosh to it. But I still wanted to, you know, Wisconsin has a lot to offer, you know, lakes and beautiful locations and parks and good people.
And podcasts.
Yeah, and podcasts and beer and cheese
beer
curds
and cheese and,
yeah, there you go,
real cheese curds,
real cheese,
not that deep fried shit.
Yeah, and so it's like it has a lot to offer filmmakers, and there's a treasure trove of people that live here that, you know, some of them went out to Hollywood and then found out what a jungle that was and then came back and living a good life. You know, my friends are that live in Hollywood and live in Los Angeles, you know, they're shocked when you tell them the square footage of your home.
Right.
So that'd be worth about $4.2 million in Los Angeles.
That would be a deal.
Yeah. And I'm like,
so, well, Wisconsin's also got a great theater group too, where, you know, forever I've been going to something that the acting bug's around. That's for sure.
You get enough people here, and again, like this, I have an upcoming project, and some people are from Chicago, the cameraman, camera assistant, lighting guys. But they Illinois has a tax credit and a pretty good one, and so they're working on, you know, Chicago Hope, Chicago Fire, Chicago Proctology, all those shows, and so they're. You know,
how can I be an extra?
Yeah. So they're you know, they just drive up to Milwaukee. That's, you know, an hour away or so.
Yeah, sure.
But I try to do that. You know, I've always thought we had talent here and kind of undiscovered talent. And I didn't want to live like a, you know, one guy, 9 roommates, you know, in a postage stamp.
That's what college is for.
Yeah,
this is life. We'll get there. That's all right.
Yeah. So I'm here, and I, you know, love the people, and just we're hardworking. We're good people.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think we're a great example of just reaching out to local people, and we appreciate that, and we can't thank you enough for making us part of it.
Well, that's a thing too. This coming week, when you guys are there, we've had a couple of times where we've had a little bit of some press, like Spectrum News and those types of things. But this is the first time that we've had actually a podcasters there. And I think you guys would be perfect for this. And everybody's so excited.
We'll try not to embarrass you.
Can't guarantee it. We are looking forward to talking to each and every one of them. You know, who is it? The people that are there. This is going to be fun. It'll be a new avenue for us as well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, and cannot thank you enough for being involved. And then we go on, just let me know when those open auditions are for your upcoming movies. Cause
I mean, we just shot a promo for a product. If you need to see our, we got reels. So
is it the product you guys were mentioning?
It's a different sort of product, but
same line.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've gotten in bed with some good people.
Literally.
We'll show it to you. All right. Well, thank you so much again. Again, the opportunity is awesome.
Wait, how do we do in the movies? Cut? Is that
cut? Doesn't matter. Cut?
We're joined by Ezekiel Drews and Joe Morrow, correct?
Correct.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Perfect.
All right. I already got it.
Yes.
And you
two
guys,
for two. So let's go ahead.
You guys are here to premiere your movie tonight. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
This is pretty exciting.
Yes. I'm so excited. Yeah. Nervous, but excited.
Yes. Well, now it tells if your hard work paid off.
Right. Yes.
When I just heard you saying in the hall that if this thing was a day later, you would still be editing. So you.
Oh, yeah. Always. If it was 2 months later, it would still be. He'd still be editing.
Yeah.
It's never done.
Just tweaking it.
Oh, I mean, after this, I'm going to take feedback from people and I'm probably going to go back and make some changes.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you have to draw a line in the sand. Right.
Sure. Right. Right.
Well, yeah. Right. Eventually, it's got to. Yeah, the project's done. It's got to go.
You start moving on to something else. Right. Exactly.
So how'd you get involved with Dan?
Oh, God.
sit back. So, this is going to be a while, it seems like.
So, honestly, I did all the casting work, mainly just because I was like, hey, I'm doing this and you can join me if you want. He's like, okay, I'm busy. All right. No worries. So, honestly, I sorted through over 200 people for auditions. And what was interesting is the fact that Dan sent me an email with both his headshot, his Wikipedia page, a couple other things. It was a very long paragraph, actually, that he included, plus the link to his Wikipedia. So
that was your first introduction to Dan.
Yes.
His dating profile.
We didn't get that technical about things. Some of his preferences were made known. But through the process of casting, and it was funny because he had never auditioned for something in, I think it was like 5 years. He didn't tell me this until 3 weeks after I'd casted him, of course. And so I sent him an email and said, hey, I had a spiel email. I was about this long. And I just said, hey, we'd love to see you for the president. Here's the sides. Of course, since he'd normally just been attached to projects, I didn't know who I was talking to.
Yeah.
Very smart.
No, who Davies was before this.
That's right.
Okay.
Also, I had not been in the acting scene or anything for roughly 12 years. So for me, I wasn't aware of who people were who were bigger in the Midwest.
Sure.
And of course, I find this all out after we casted him. So it's very interesting just to go through a whole process and find out that you're working with some people who have a lot of reputation in the industry, 25 plus years for Dan, some other people in the cast, just, even longer, or just overall different various experience and people that, have almost as much experience as Joe's been alive.
Yeah, for real. I mean, so I just moved to the area and I just got into acting. And I remember the phone call where he's like, oh, I really want to cast this guy for the president. It's like, apparently he's pretty well connected. Like, all right, I'm down.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Love you. Saw some of his West of Thunder stuff and I was like, is this the same guy?
This can't be.
Did you experience Ed Gein the musical at all?
Yes. Yes. Okay. He watched it online. I came to the screening in August, where we debuted our theatrical trailer for Happy Birthday.
Nice.
And I gotta say, walking in and not knowing anything about it, I was shocked, appalled, and I laughed my ass off the entire time.
I think that's the normal reaction to the movie. Yeah, it was mine when the first time I saw it. I went to the one before that screening of it, and we had Dan on. You gotta come on, and that's our introduction to him. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's been great since then. Now, where the idea come from?
I guess it's still on me.
I mean, I can answer that one. I have the background too.
True story.
Did you write it together? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, Ezekiel wrote the entire thing.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. The idea for Happy Birthday came to me as I was watching the first 2 minutes of the Netflix Resident Evil series, which was terrible, by the way. I can go on record for that.
Your Honor.
Great. Sorry, Netflix. Don't hold it against us.
So there goes our Netflix.
He's got, some, yeah. He's got something better for you.
There goes his Netflix, not yours. All of our but the idea came in the first 2 minutes of watching it, and I spun together a story. I sent over to Joe at 1 a.m. in the morning, and he messaged me the next morning. He said, I love it. Let's do it.
Nice.
And I started off as a short film for it, and then after a bit, I decided to flesh it out because I said, hey, go big or go home, right?
Yep.
And going big seemed to be a lot bigger than we originally thought about.
So much more work than expected. Not that we didn't know that feature films weren't a lot of work, but
no, definitely not.
I signed up for a short film. I want to have that on the record. Ended up on a feature film, and then Dan Davies gets involved, and then suddenly you have to have it done by September 23rd. So yeah.
So when did you start filming?
March 25th.
Okay.
Wow. So we cast it in February. Organized the location, all the props, costumes, etc. Had that ready to go for March 25th and 26th. And then we filmed it for added up. It's a grand total of about 10 or 11 days over from March through the end of July. So a lot of different times. We actually, the very first day that we filmed, there was a blizzard.
Oh, I think
that I did not account for. Yeah, right? So March 25th, the night before. What do you mean there's a blizzard?
It was beautiful the week before too,
right?
60 degrees, and then suddenly
we always get one of those. We always get one of those. Yeah.
So, but it made things interesting because we had to delay the start. We still filmed for a grand total of about 14 and a half hours that day.
Oh, wow.
It was a very long day for all of our cast.
Oh, yeah.
And we, for the most part, I think didn't have very many complaints from people, which is great because there's definitely a lot that could have gone wrong besides a blizzard in March.
Just dive in, right?
They were probably complaining just not to our faces.
Right.
Sure. Well, that's okay. That's fine amongst them, right?
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
I always say if you're going to stab somebody, just stab them in the front so they know who you're
going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what is the premise of the film?
Premise of the film, it takes place in after, post-apocalypse on without giving too much away, essentially there's two characters who meet up, and one of them is stuck living the same day over and over again due to post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And the other one just kind of shows up and rocks his world. And we find out through the film basically about what happened to get to this point.
Okay.
Flashbacks and things?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Nice
way to do it. Now, when he brought you on board, to do it, did you storyboard anything or how's your process for direct? Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We storyboarded like every, I guess it was mostly the night before every
yes. Stop,
right.
So if we got the location information specifically, then we were like, okay, so based on what we have available, how is this going to look?
Yeah. We're just flying getting the location and then basically, yeah, whenever we could get there and then it's like, okay, well, I want the shot to look like this. And then planning out basically like transitions and things like that between our scenes. That was always important for storyboarding.
Yes.
And you two are both in the movie as well, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What characters do you play in the movie?
So I play John Rutherford.
Yeah. And I'm Samuel. And we're both the main characters.
Okay. Okay. So which one of you is the one who's living the same day? And the okay.
Yeah, it'd be me.
And you? All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yep. I'm the
what kind of a challenge was that? To direct yourself.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Directing yourself.
Your own words.
There's a lot of, we did a lot of playback. I mean, so much playback when it was, especially when it was just you and me up north filming. And we were like, okay, we need to see what this looks like. Yeah. In case we have, and there was a lot of changing and flexibility and stuff we had to do. Actually, had never even touched the camera up until that point. And so I was getting my feet wet with holding the camera and stuff, and I was like, I've got the shakiest hands in the world. Are you sure you want me to do this? Well, there's no choice. You're just gonna have to. Okay.
In-body image stabilization.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't that it with these independent films?
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. You just dive in and do it. And when something breaks, you work around it.
Exactly.
How many did anything like that happen? Any major? No. All right, rewrite the whole. Oh, well, good.
Luckily,
good.
Nothing major broke. To go back to your other question about directing and acting at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think I will ever do it again. trying to like know how you sounded and looked, and then getting it from paper onto screen at the same time as trying to set up the set, and you need the lighting correctly, and then setting up the camera angles and everything.
Sure. Like,
we were doing everything.
Yeah.
And then for me, I feel like the acting took a second seat. So it's like, what falls through the cracks?
Sure.
And I feel like that ended up being the acting, which is unfortunate, but you guys will tell me.
Afterwards. I will say I still liked what he did. So.
And never say never. I mean, maybe once you
true.
Do this,
yeah,
direct a few more movies, more comfortable.
Very true. Exactly.
You could be like, there, no one else could play that part but me.
Yeah.
You know?
Very true.
Absolutely. And this is our inaugural film. So it's the first film that we came together. Joe and I came together over booze in November and said, let's make a film together.
It seems to be the common with Dan as well. So that's okay.
It's the same way the podcast started.
There you go. That's the way.
There's the answer. The reason
we should do a podcast. Yes.
I thought there would be cocktail.
Yeah,
I only signed up because of the booth.
We do have some mini sites.
I don't know if we're supposed to have them.
Right. Yeah.
What is this, dry campus?
you guys can't prepare.
So it's
we gotta uphold our name. I mean,
oh, nice.
I love it.
We've got to. So
yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
at least have them out. You know.
So you're premiering the movie here tonight. What are the steps after tonight then?
Steps after this is, so we're going to be meeting with our composer again after this to double check on music stuff and see if there's any changes that we want to make. And then after that, assuming if there's little to none, then we'll be starting to submit to other actual festivals. We'll be working on getting the standards required to be met in order to get distribution, hopefully on either Netflix or Hulu.
Well, not Netflix anymore.
Well,
I can edit that out for
sure.
You.
Sure. Perfect.
Right. Still on record.
I love Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah. But just to get out there, we want to get as much exposure as possible. We'll be submitting also to AMC Theaters has an independent program as well.
Oh,
nice. So hopefully to maybe submit and get approved for that. So there's a lot of different steps that we'd like to do for getting some type of distribution. After that, I think that we might want to try to do some more acting stuff. But additionally, I think that diversification of what we do, rather than necessarily shooting our own stuff, we might take some steps into hiring ourselves out for different services as well. Whether it's producing, location managing, prop hunting, or writing, editing, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff that we wore hats for. Something that I want to get more involved in, so that way it's less on Joe's plate, would be editing, which is a lot of technical stuff. I'm like, but I can help. No.
Just don't.
No. Yeah.
So do you have a problem letting go as well? Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I am. I was the kid in high school. That like class projects, it's like you three can just sit on the side.
I got it. I feel you 1,000%.
Yeah, yeah.
I complain about it nonstop, but then he's like, well, I can help. I'm like, no, you can't. Yeah, you can't. Never mind.
Slaps my hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And as you can tell, I'm a talker.
Yeah. Well, and we'll not keep you too much longer, but being the writer, you got other ideas up in your head for the next one?
Yes, and I'm not going to put them out here just because Joe will kill me.
No.
Like, remember when you said this?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned other ideas, sequels, right? I mean, if Netflix falls, then you got to do sequels. And
if Netflix wants to give us a budget, we could redo this with even more special effects and stuff.
Sure. Oh, there you go.
That would be something, and I mean, that would be worth it to me if we wanted to redo this one with a bigger budget.
Yeah. No, we're just going to move on to the next one. They'll give us a bunch.
He's already over it.
Next thing.
Right.
Done with it.
That's what you call a partnership right there.
Yes. No.
Negotiate.
He's like, let me correct you.
Yes.
Yes. What Joe said.
No. We're done with this one after today, and then we're moving on to whatever the next project becomes. Right.
So I am curious with that little interaction there. How much beef is there on a movie set between two guys that are... Because him and I have been friends for 25 years and never had any... issues with friendship until we started doing this together. And then, I mean, still nothing major,
right?
There's nothing some major, bumps in the road, you know, like, you guys have any of that? Or
I think not really any huge beef, but like, as we were filming up north in the middle of nowhere, you guys will actually see the location. It was 98 degrees out, and there was no air conditioning at this cabin we're at. And I don't know, just the conditions were not good.
Sure.
And we barely got into anything. It was like a little thing here and there, just felt like a disagreement about, I don't know, lighting or direction of what we wanted to do on that specific thing. But then moving on, joking in 10 seconds later, you know?
Yeah, I suppose on something like this, you don't really have time to have beef. You got to get on to the next thing.
Your tight schedule.
Honestly, I think that came down to Joe and I had a lot of conversations around planning and about what the overall vision of the film looked like. And I think we just, you know, we were willing to bounce ideas off each other. And if I had an idea and Joe said, that's not going to be realistic, I was like, okay, well, how can we make the idea of what I want? And then he would pitch a couple of things. And I said, well, what about this? And then we'd kind of compromise. And it was good to have somebody to sound off on as well. And also when we had some of our other videographers and stuff, that helped as well. Because then they could say like, well, this is how I would do this. And we'd take all the different feedback and we'd pick the best way to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaboration. And I mean, he wrote it, so I a lot of times was trying to lean on his vision. It's like, hey, how did you envision this, right?
Sure.
So I could have, I'd put in my two cents, but at the end of the day, I'm like, you wrote it. Let's get it to what was on paper.
Okay.
As best as we could. And conversely,
if he writes something and says, this is how I want, I'm going to do the best that I can to honor whatever his vision of that is as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
That sounds like you have a great future in front of you to make more movies.
I hope so.
If you're ready to dive in again without strangling each other.
Ready? Give me a little bit. I've been in crunch time for a little too long right now.
At least 72 hours.
Yeah, that's all I need. Give me a couple days.
You start casting on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to it. And
More of your work. Thanks for stopping by.
For sure.
Thank you. It's a pleasure meeting you both.
Pleasure.
If you want to swing before you go, help yourself.
I was glad to take a swing.
With the Jameson,
what is this one?
We got that flavored vodka.
You want vodka or whiskey?
For whiskey.
I'll take the vodka then.
Cheers.
All right.
How are you?
Good. It's
noodle.
I didn't know if that was peppermint for like, you know, inhaling.
No,
it's
we used to do on cases, right?
Smelling salts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. It may make us look like alcoholics, but the name of the thing is cocktails, you know, so we got to uphold our.
You do. You have a name to uphold.
It's all branding.
And I was going to sign the book, as I say, Dimples, Cocktails, Dimples, Beards, and now Spirits.
There you go. There you go.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for joining us, Donna Frankhart.
Yes.
All right. I'm 3 for 3 now on names.
That's why I let him do it. Because I would butcher every one of them. I would probably butcher Donna. So that's why we're going to just let him do it.
As long as you don't butcher me.
No. We'll leave that up to your stories.
Oh, yes.
You know?
I have many stories.
Well, that's what we're excited to hear. What made you decide? I'm going to write this stuff down and throw it in books. She's an author. We should have.
Well, I was.
Author
of the book, I've Seen Dead People.
I write things. I was a deputy coroner for 8.5 years, and there wasn't any debriefing. So, of course, you go on all of these horrific cases. You can't go home and sit around the dinner table and talk about what you did that day, right? And so I had two younger sons, and I couldn't talk to them about it, obviously. Yeah. So it was all in my head, and I was trying to process and decompartmentalize, if I can get that out. I started writing notes, and when I'd be alone in my room at night, I'd cry a lot, you know, back to the cases for that day.
Yeah,
they're very emotional and very gory, and
and
I just started writing notes, more of my emotions, to get it out on paper. And then after 8.5 years, I thought, you know, if I can help others in understanding and appreciating life, that life is fleeting, and to, even though it gets tough at times, to just appreciate every moment that you're alive. Because I saw so many cases where people die unexpectedly, because those are the kinds of cases that I would go on.
Yeah, that was interesting when I read unexpected or suspicious. Yes. That was your specialty?
Yes.
Why is that, as opposed to just normal cases that you got involved with?
So homicides, suicides, car fatalities, drownings, fires. So all of the horrific, unexpected deaths were what we'd be paged out on. So what happens is the coroner has possession of the body, and then the law enforcement, the police detectives, they have control of the crime scene. Okay. It is a crime scene until the investigation is completed, and then all together in unison, we would rule out any foul play.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, that was the main, so, make sure it is foul. Yeah. And then if there was some foul play that you detected, did you pass that on?
Well, that would, there'd be autopsies. Sure. I would, I would have the autopsy.
That's okay.
Yeah, can we please?
You're probably scaring him a little bit.
I'm scaring myself. I have to sleep
tonight, you know.
Wait till I bring the spirits in.
Oh,
that's another episode.
Yes, there you go.
Bring them with next time.
They're here now.
Oh boy.
I forgot where
the autopsy. And then, yes, there was some suspicious.
Yeah.
So now what's the next step? Are you still involved continuously?
Or do you just rule it? At that point, then I would rule it. So I would pronounce the time of death. I would do draw fluids for toxicology. I would order the autopsy if there was going to be one. I'd bag, I'd tag. You're looking at me.
I couldn't do it.
It was a lot. Yes.
And I mean this when I hear of jobs like that and people that do it, I give them so much credit because I know I couldn't do it.
No.
You know, and it's the thing, someone's got to do it, right?
Right. Well,
you do. And
thank you. But you know, interestingly enough, the hardest part of the whole job was the notification to the loved ones that their loved one had passed away unexpectedly or tragically. That was the toughest.
I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I wouldn't want to do it.
And so this book that I wrote, because so many paranormal encounter things would be going on, and I just thought, oh, it's part of the job, right? And after a while, I thought, am I going crazy? But then it would happen in front of other police officers.
Okay.
Things were happening at home with my sons. So it's like, okay, it's not just me. This is happening. And it just kept amping up more and more. Now, I haven't been a deputy since 2015. And the last couple of years, as you can see, I wear, I sound crazy, unless you're spiritual, but it's nonstop. But I was told that because I'm so compassionate on the scene that a lot of the souls would follow me home, because when you die tragically, they're not understanding that they're dead.
They're gone.
They don't
okay.
know what to do. And because I was so kind to them, they'd follow me home.
So were you spiritual before your job?
Not as much as this. Well, I was raised Catholic. And so, you know, it's life, death, heaven, right. hell, purgatory. But
yeah.
I have so many videos on orbs. Oh, I won't say too much. I mean, I'm writing a sequel to my first book.
That's what we're going to be waiting for.
Thank you.
And you also wrote Ed Gein, the musical, in novel format. So how did that come about?
And why?
Well, first off,
why did he make the movie? And then why do you write a novel?
That's what I thought. I thought, who would have a musical on a killer? Dan Davies.
Right.
And he'd be an interesting, I had so much fun interviewing him and kind of picking his brain apart as to how it was putting the musical together and why. And then plus he has those connections with Ed Gein, his family does.
Yeah.
So I wrote the book in talking about the interviews and how they made the musical, but also as a former deputy coroner, my perspective on things of what Ed Gein, how he ended up the way he was and the cases.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
And
when was the first time you saw the movie? And what were your thoughts on it the first time you saw it?
That'll be the
standard
question.
I was wondering, how is this musical going to be? Is it going to be really disgusting? But they were all so respectful. It was done very dignified. And so I wanted to be involved in writing about it. Had it been not made the way it was, I would not have been interested. Sure. So
did you contact Dan?
I was pleasantly surprised. Dan
with the idea?
Talked about it.
Okay.
Yes. Because we're friends and we've worked on other projects together.
That's right. You're involved with his other book.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. A Forest Art.
A Forest Art.
Yes.
Which, I knew what it was in my head. I got to say it out loud, right?
Yeah. I'm
He gave us copies.
We talked about that when he was on with us. And it's a lot of good stories in that.
Yes.
Well, we are looking forward to having you on to just deep dive into your book, into your stories.
Thank you.
That's
very
for
much.
Sure. And we'll make a connection with your with the next book.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it.
And you're going to need to let us know if we need anything to guard the room from spirits or anything when this thing happens.
Sage, maybe okay. A few crystals.
Okay.
Are you going to bring just nice ones or you can't help it? You get a mixture of both no matter what.
They're all going to be nice, except for good. The spirits you might drink.
Right.
They won't be so nice to you later.
All right.
You've always been good to me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for swinging by.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk again.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Enjoy the evening. We are.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
Dan
failed on formally introducing all of us. Thanks, Dan.
Dan doesn't formally do anything.
So you know Dan. We got that out of the way right away. Yeah.
Over a decade.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's only been a couple of years, so we're getting it going, and we're just happy that he invited us to come in here. So let's talk about, let's introduce you all. Len, now I see Len Ebbs.
Yes.
Is that what you go by?
Yeah, I go by Lenny B.
Lenny okay. B. Yeah. We'll go with that. And you are with Ballad of a Mushroom Cloud.
Yes.
The same. And you're involved? Okay.
Yes. One of the producers.
Okay.
One of the producers. And your name again is Jason?
Jason. Bus. B-U-S-S.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, nice to meet you all. Thank you both. And how start out? How did you get, not, I know your friendship with Dan, but how did you get involved with the project for the mushroom?
Go ahead. Start. It was a story that I've heard Dan tell multiple times.
Really? And multiple times, Dan?
Did it always start out with?
Did it?
Yeah. To make a long story short, and then
insert Dan in. No, but it kind of took Len to actually get it on camera, and I think it turned out great. But it was just a very unique kernel of a story that we had a little fun with and made it more real and put it up on the screen. So,
well, then we're going to see it tonight, which is exciting. Right.
It was, I had a, actually my last short film, First Person,
okay.
Which, last year for best short film.
Nice.
As Dan's segment, you know, and it's a series of 10 monologues. And as we were walking off the College Avenue Bridge, Dan started telling me the story. I still had the recorder on, the wireless microphone was still on him.
Okay.
And as he was telling me the story, I was like, I'm not going to say anything. Let Dan roll. And it became this movie, Ballad of Mushroom.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
Because I could tell, like, it had all the elements, the natural story arc. And
yeah,
and it was dramatic, and it was real. It's based on a true story of Dan's grandfather.
Yeah,
and that's what's the best part is that it's real. You know, that it's neat that we know. And then he wrote it. Did you help?
Yes.
Help in any of the writing with him?
Writing. Well, yeah, it was a really cool, really really cool creative process. I really love working with Dan. It's probably the fourth time we've worked together, and I feel like honored by him, and he's really respectful, very professional, and he always says, like, you know, I trust you, Len. So that means a lot to me.
Yeah,
as a director. And so it's pretty much 100% Dan, but he allowed me to go and do a little wordsmithing and crafting.
Okay.
And that part was nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Were you already envisioning when he was talking and he didn't realize it that night on the bridge? Were you already envisioning how you wanted to lay it out as a director?
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And if you see Ballad of a Mushroom Cloud, it starts off in a bar.
Makes sense.
It has like kind of the Princess's Bride kind of feel, because we take you from like reality, which we shot during, was December 23rd last winter. Was a blizzard. It was minus 23 degrees.
You see the common theme with Dan movies.
Yeah. And that's the opening shot. It's kind of like homage to Fargo.
Yeah.
Nice. And so you get cozy in the bar and Dan's starting to tell you a story just like real life.
Yeah.
And then we cut to sort of montage that I put together, various pieces of I pulled from like pop art and movies and commercials and a little montage. And then we get into another live action piece that we shot. Couldn't have done it without Jason's help. You could say this part, but just a few weeks ago. So you go from the of winter to like a cornfield in the summer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you filmed it then and you're still filming?
We wrapped like a month ago. But
okay.
Yes, we did shoot in the winter and then waited 6 months and then
to get it.
And
to get the rest. Sure.
To get that. Yeah.
Sure. Gotcha. Okay. And then it's been editing ever since. Are you involved with the editing process?
Yes, I cut it all.
So. You did it. But, okay.
And then Jason gave me notes on my edits, which were super helpful. But there's one really cool thing. Jason,
yes?
Tell how we got the vehicle.
Oh.
Well, you haven't seen the project. You haven't seen
it. Nope, but I've heard the story.
Okay.
So you hung out with Dan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In a bar.
One of the key prop for the story happens because his grandfather was driving a military transport vehicle. And it, I guess we couldn't have told the story the way we did without it. So I managed to find, after a couple phone calls, a 2.5-ton triaxle 1941.
Wow.
GMC. Restored and
working condition.
And absolutely, the guy had, the owner of this has a collection. The owner has he drove a tank in the original Ant-Man movie. He was on set for like 2 weeks.
Oh wow.
And he drove, we filmed in North Appleton. He said, if I can drive it, if it's within about a half an hour, I'll drive it there. If not, you're going to have to transport it somehow. I did some math. I'm like, have you been to the Appleton Flag Day Parade? He's like, yes. I'm like, great. Add about one or two more miles and you're golden. He said, I drove it from Oshkosh to North Appleton at 30 miles an hour, top speed.
Wow.
So it took him an hour.
A lot of people behind him honking horns.
Thank you for doing that.
and he showed up in period correct attire. Oh, wow. He's part of a troop. Couldn't have done it without Daryl's help.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Daryl, because that is a, you know, just knowing the story, that is a huge part of the story. Is that truck?
Yeah,
I love being able to find it.
Yes.
How lucky they're. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were also very lucky to have Luis Castillo, our actor, come up from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Stay overnight here in lovely downtown Appleton, Hilton. We're very good to our production.
All right.
Luis was really wonderful in the film. We couldn't have happened without him either. So awesome. You guys get to see it and enjoy it.
Awesome.
We're looking forward to it.
I have to compliment you on your fashion choice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Likewise. He told me I had to dress up. I'm like, baseball cap is not dressed. All right, fine. We'll go Peaky Blinders. So
one night you can get it done for one night. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you both.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
And I'm really looking forward to checking it out. Sit down. It was nice talking to you. And we're excited for the movie. Glad that we have the
took a bullet that was meant for me.
Okay. Well, that's a story we want to hear.
That's how we start.
We'll start with that.
So, well, why don't we introduce ourselves first?
Then get into the bullet.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yes. Emmett Loverdy.
Loverdy. Yes. Perfect.
Hayato Mitsuishi.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Eric Luker.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Perfect. You made it. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
You're all involved.
The movie Without a Name.
Without a Name.
Yeah.
Yes, and tonight we're showing an excerpt from Without a Name. It's called Pastor Jameson's New Plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Starring Dan Davies.
Oh, all right.
Now let's hear how took a bullet.
Why am I starting to get a Dan is in everything.
A recurring with everyone we've talked to.
Wait, did Dan just fake an award show so he can
show me?
We're on to him. Well, we're all right. We're still a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
All right. We got to hear the bullet story.
I was trying to be funny.
No.
Actually, we met Dan through Dave, through Eric.
Yep. Okay.
And I have a movie company called Madtown Films here in Wisconsin. And
based out of where?
Out of Madtown.
I'm a good old Madtown.
Wanted to clarify.
Right. Absolutely. And I had done a show. We met online, initially became friends that way. And then I did a small micro SAG film in Sheboygan.
Okay.
And they hired Emmett to be the director of that show. Okay. And that's how then I ended up meeting Emmett. And they came from California to do it. Ed Asner and his nephew were part of that whole thing, and he was supposed to be in it. Unfortunately, he passed, but we became friends on set, he couldn't believe how economical it was to film a production here in Wisconsin. And he said, we have another show he'd like to film. And I said, well, let's make it here and we can make it at a third of the price. He's like, no way. Well, here we are today sitting in front of you talking.
Yeah, made it for a third of the price.
Perfect. So glad it worked out.
Nice.
And so the premise of the movie.
It's called, the feature film is called Without a Name, and it's about a cult.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
Yes. It's about a man's struggle to, he loses his son to this cult.
Oh.
Where they celebrate youth, but they kill you once you reach the age of 40. And so this guy is trying to get his kid back. So there's the movie that we're showing tonight, Pastor Jameson's New Plan, is about the origin of the cult.
Okay.
Okay.
The backstory.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the prologue for the film.
Gotcha.
But it kind of stands on its own as a little story.
So when someone goes to see the film later on, it's not in there?
No, it's going to be the first 5 minutes of the film.
But perfect.
It also, you could watch it.
As a standalone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Now, whose idea was?
I have a writing partner named Larry Maravilla, and who's actually from Chicago.
Okay.
And we've been writing together for, you know, longer than many people have been alive. But Larry had this idea about a cult, and he originally was a cult that worships death, which. Mm. Wasn't quite sure how that would work, so we decided that they worship youth.
Okay.
Oh.
And so that's, and of course, then it's like, well, what would that be like? What would, you know, how would kids act in a situation like that?
Yeah.
And then of course, how would something like that start?
That'll be the interesting part. How does it start? How do you get people to join the cult and grow the cult? That's always curious to me.
Without giving anything away, it's the concept of rain dancing. The idea that, you know, you say, well, it's not raining, our crops are dying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, let's stand on our head, nothing happens. Well, let's plant, you know, pumpkins, nothing happens. Let's do a crazy dance. And then it starts raining, we go, it's the dance. Ritual, right?
Yeah.
That's what made us, that's our good luck source.
Right, okay.
So that's kind of what this is about.
Okay. And you got involved?
Yes, amen. I'm a producer on it, and I met Emmett at a film festival in West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking, we found out that we both live in LA. We live like 5-10 minutes from each
other. Small world.
Four blocks.
Four blocks. So we kept in touch. Ian, he's a writer, so he has a lot of scripts, and mm-hmm. he's like, you know, I want to make a film. So we made one film separate from this. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go into post-production after filming that feature film. And then Eric came along and we're like, well, now's our chance. We got to, you know,
Before
it starts snowing with content that takes place, you know. So we're like, okay, let's get this done. So we started filming before we finished the post-production of our previous film.
Okay. Yeah. Right on to the next.
Exactly. Yeah.
No rest for the wicked, right?
Yeah.
Away you go.
For me, the best part about it is we green-lighted it. It was a phone call on July 3rd.
Mm.
And we had 50 actors, 15 crew. And almost 3 months of the dates, we were yelling action. Put it all together. Probably the biggest, wow, we just did this.
That's incredible. How long was the shooting then?
15 days. Okay. Great.
That always amazes me with these films. You know how fast you get in and out, and you know.
Well, a feature film should never be put together that fast. I just hadn't done one yet, so I didn't know better, so we made it happen.
Yeah.
Now that we're looking at a second one,
maybe a little longer.
Slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, slow it just a bit. But,
wow.
That's crazy. So you're already on to another one.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're looking for that too. You have any?
Did we mention that one's filming in Milwaukee?
Yes.
No. But,
yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Okay. Milwaukee, keeping it. In the area in Wisconsin, you like that.
Obviously, I did a decent enough job that they came back to the stadium.
Perfect.
Sounds like it's going to be a relationship for a while.
We like the Badgers. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
As long as you don't say the Bears, we're good.
I didn't say you're talking about a guy from Chicago.
At least you got that right, Badgers, right? You're able to get that. What's the next step for the movie then after?
We have a little more work to do on Without a Name, and then
we just did a screening yesterday with the casting crew.
Okay.
And good reaction. So we're gonna do a little bit more editing and
gotcha.
Yeah,
that's always it, right? And then it's off to film festivals or with the film, or what do you?
I feel like film festivals might be a good idea, or we might just try to get it released directly.
In discussions.
But it took us 3 months, so we're figuring let's just go straight to distribution.
There you go.
There's no way we can get film festivals to take an entire year.
Work at a faster pace than that.
Come on. For this movie, why waste your time? Perfect. All right. Well, we're gonna keep track of it, and hopefully, someday we'll watch the whole thing.
Absolutely.
All right.
We hope you do.
We will.
This guy, 1,000%. He's got a room full of DVDs that we record in. It's what 3,000 and something. So
I'm just
he watches guy. Everything.
Yeah, and I've said it before. I love independent movies and all small because I'm amazed when I hear 15 days when you watch what's up there.
Do you actually are you? I know Eric's company has produced a number of things. You might want to.
We haven't released anything yet, but it's an episodic.
Yes,
The Office meets The Sopranos. And it's a mockumentary.
Interesting.
The son of a Don does something so bad, the entire family moves from the East Coast to the Midwest. And mayhem and comedy ensues.
Nice.
Okay.
Four episodes.
Did you tell them the name?
Cacio e Papa. Instead of cheese and cacio e pepe, which is cheese and pasta, it's cheese and pasta.
Nice.
And then
Kevin's Entertainment. I do a lot of stuff with Japan, so a lot of co-production with Japanese films and of course American films as well.
Nice.
Bring the Japanese films over here. You work keeping there
both, and also create films together with Japanese cast or directors as well, and film them here sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perfect.
And then I have several features running on Tubi right now, and a couple of other platforms.
Oh,
I did see you have a lot of different areas of short films and plays and all over the place. So you're a busy man.
You can't just do one thing.
Excellent. Perfect. All right, we won't keep you from the festival. Let's start it.
Thank you.
Just appreciate you stopping
by. Nice to meet you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric Acid. Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, I got this chair. No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big hole.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.